worship and praise in heaven. Revelation chapter 4, verse 10. Let's read it. Revelation chapter 4, verse 10. Actually, verse 8. Part B in verse 8. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. It says, day after day, night after night, they keep on saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, the one who always was, who is, and who is still to come. Whenever the living beings give glory and honor and thanks to the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, verse 10, the 24 elders fall down and worship the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, and they lay their crowns before the throne and say, you are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive what? Glory and honor and power, for you created all things. And they exist because you created what you please. You know, I talk a couple Sundays ago, I talked many different ways we can worship God. Now, let me ask you this. And let me tell you this. One of the things that attract God, worship, is your worship. Your worship, your praise attract God. Do you know how much it takes for somebody to come up here? Sandra is not here today. Oh, by the way, keep Sandra and Philip in your prayers. They've been having death, right? Death in the family. Just a sister died here and a brother died there or an aunt died here. So it's been, so if you guys can text them or email them, let's do that. They're in New Jersey today, and even for Sharon too. So Sharon and Elijah. So may the Lord comfort them and give them grace for the season. So do you know, have you ever thought about what would it take, what it takes for someone to dance for God in front of people? I want you to think for a minute with me. What would it take? Some people have more of a bolder character than others, right? You know, me, I told you, I used to be very shy. I never liked people. I read something somewhere this week. I was like, man, thank God for Jesus. It says, I used to like people, but people wounded. And I read it, I'm like, man, I've been there. Any of us have been there? Yes. There was a time in my life I could say, I read that phrase, I'm like, I almost said amen, but I'm like, no. Because there is no way, if you really know Jesus, for you not to love people. It is totally impossible to love God and not love people. It is totally impossible to be a child of God without loving. And now when we're talking about loving, what are we talking about? We're talking about being kind, being gentle, because true love is love is kind. Love is gentle. Love is not jealous. Love does not seek its own interest. Love is not boastful. Love is not proud. Proud. Love is not proud. So I say, God, thank you for the gospel. So think with me again. Do you know how much it takes for somebody to stand up here and sing? That's why I say, said it, I'm going to repeat it. Don't put God in a box. There is freedom in the Lord to worship God the way you must. And a couple weeks ago, I used the example of David entering Jerusalem. David knew where he came from. And David was just like worshiping God. Remember the words I give you? Some of the Greek words, some of the ways that, yeah, there's a big study out there. One of them was todao. It means to lift up your hands. Actually, todao means it's the same root words with hallelujah. It's to shout. Have you ever felt like shouting hallelujah? Yes. Have you? Hallelujah. Have you done it?
Yes.
Okay, good. Keep it up. In your car, have you ever felt like to say, glory to God?
Yes.
Do you do it?
Yes.
Keep it up. Now, I got it. Now I'm talking to the ones that felt like doing it. They should do it, but don't do it. Have you ever felt like, what's that word? I got to look for it. Halal. Halal means, it's a primary Hebrew word for praise. It's kind of the same root word with hallelujah, but it means to be clear about who God is. To boast about God. To show reverence. To celebrate. And the word celebrate, the Greek word translate, that translates celebration, means to clamorously foolish. I mean, to like clamorously worshiping God. Clamor. To really cause other people to be like, man, why is he acting stupid? None of us want people to tell us we're acting stupid. That's why the Bible says in Romans, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Come on. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom for you to run. I am free to run. I am free to dance. I am free to live for you. That's what I'm talking about. Attracting God. You see, we know that worship has more to do than singing. But it takes a lot for someone to even where you're sitting down to sing. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And some of you cannot carry a tune. Bernie, your aunt, you went to the choir, right? He's like, Bernie, you go find something else to do. You can't sing. But help me out, Priscilla. Help me out. But you make a joyful noise to the Lord. Guys, this is the year for us as a church to enter together a new level of freedom in worship. God in the house. That's why I break the chain that makes you so heavy in the praises of God, in the presence of God. We welcome banners. We welcome dancers. It's not a program. We tell you, you know, you clap your hands, all you people, sing praises to the Lord. Shout it loud. What the song we sing say? We shout the name of Jesus. Shout the name of Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus! Jesus, yes, I don't know if you've ever experienced it. There's something that happened in my spirit. I'm facing like either the heaviness of life, the heaviness, the burden for ministry. I mean, I'm like, okay, Jesus, yes, Jesus. Lord, I trust your name. I told you, when you sing, it's a different way you pray. Some of us say, well, I don't know how to pray. Please, don't say that again. Just sing. Just sing. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Oh, bless his holy name. You're praying the word. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. You walk. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, bless the Lord of my soul. Bless his holy name. Father, I join my voice with the angels. I join my voice with Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. They sing holy. You know, even the spirit of heaviness that comes to oppress you, that spirit would lift up, be lifting up. That spirit will get away from you. Why? Because you are operating in a spirit of praise. Do you know how much it takes to sing for Jesus? Psalm 105, verse 1 says, give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nation what he has done. You know, last week in our men's group, we were talking about the enemy. Revelation chapter 12. It says, one of the verses says, they overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. There's never testimony without a test. That's why you need the Holy Spirit. Do not be afraid to proclaim what the Lord has done for you. What the Lord has done in your life. Make it known. Psalm 106 verse 1 says, give thanks to the Lord for his what? Good. Has anybody here experienced God's goodness in their life? Let's not just talk about it on Thanksgiving week. You know, Thanksgiving week, everybody's all. You know, I mean, what would you think if I come here, I say, Merry Christmas, everybody. And I mean, you all be looking at me like, Pastor, it's not Christmas anymore. But the good thing is I don't have to wait for Thanksgiving to be all about thankfulness. I can live a life of thankfulness. Your praise and worship attract God. You know, another word I used was Shabak. Shabak means to address in a loud tone. I know some of you are very quiet. You know, the word stupid means different things in French. In French, when someone's loud, they call them stupid too. But that doesn't mean the same stupid in English. Just stupid. I encourage you, try it in your car, where no one sees you. Try it in your shower. But there's another intimate place. You and Jesus. Hallelujah! Jesus! Pastor told me to shout Jesus. Jesus! I tell you, sometimes even when your heart... Check. Okay, I lost my mic. Even sometimes, when you're going through tough time, by mentioning the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. At the name of Jesus, there's a song like that. How does the song goes? It says, you know, of course, there's a song for everything. At the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. At the mention of Jesus, every chains of addictions, whatever chains binding you, whatever's holding you, whatever's oppressing you. You know, even some of you in the education system, it's a heavy system. Whatever's pressing on you, you operate, you function in the name of Jesus. There's another word I use. It's barak, which means to kneel down, to bless God as an act of adoration, to bow down. I encourage you at home, develop this habit to bow down before the Lord. You know, why do we do this? Why do we do that? I mean, in our democratic mindset, we don't understand kingdom. In a kingdom, people that grew up in a kingdom, they understand when the king arrives, every subject, what? You either, or, you know, you fall down. In the presence of our king, we are undone. You know, the word barak means to bend, bow down, done before the Lord. I'm done. I'm undone before the Lord. That's why we cry out for the glory of God. Because when the glory of God comes, it makes us realize, man, how much I need my Father. Psalm 95 verse 6 says, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Come, let us throw ourselves. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Between verse 9 and 10. It says the 24 elders throw their crowns. Whatever is dear to you, throw it, give it to God. And we all know, beside our money, what's dear to us. It's our heart, our pride. And how many of us, our pride is keeping us from entering in? In the presence of God, you have what we call people, others' conscience. You are conscious about what others think about you. Oh, I don't know. I mean, I don't want people to look at me weird. I don't want, you know, that this is our mindset, right? I don't want people to look at me weird. You know, you feel that intimacy during worship. You know, you feel it. I don't want people, I'm not going to come to the altar. God's talking to your heart. You feel the Lord's doing this, knocking on your heart. Says, I'm knocking. If anyone hears my voice, if anyone hears me knocking, open. That's it. Such an invitation. But our mind says, you feel you're under conviction. But our mind says, you know, last month you were up there. You better not go again. They're going to think you're the worst person in the church. Well, how do I know? It's because I've been there. God is very near to a brokenhearted. The closer we get to Him, the closer He gets to us. God wants to give you all of Him. But the level of intimacy you have with God depends on you. Oh, He wants to go all in with you. All in. That's why I declare and I make it a priority for Father God, the Holy Spirit, and the Son to have first place in this church. I challenge you to give Him first place in our life, in your life. You know, your worship attracts God. The source of our idolatry. You know, you must understand that God, Jesus Christ, He's the source of everything. And I know most of you, if not all of you, you know that He's your source, right? You know He's the source of everything. You know, but a lot of time, people don't attract God because their worship, especially nowadays, I tell you, there are songs, some songs, I listen to them. I'm a worship leader. You know, Dan's a worship leader. We listen to worship songs. And some of those songs, they're just self-worship. God must be worshipped. You know, let me take some time to note the importance of separating the means from the end. When more worth is placed on the means than the end, then the end becomes your idol or my idol. Let me tell you, for example, you don't worship the hose. You don't put very lots of importance on the hose. What's important is what's going through the hose, the water, right? So therefore, the hose is the mean, is the end. The water is the mean. There's an example in the Bible I want us to go there. It's in 1 Samuel. Are we going to read it? Anybody up for a good story? 1 Samuel. You might know it already, but we're going to read that. 1 Samuel chapter 15. And we're going to learn a lot from 1 Samuel. Talking about attracting God. My challenge to you this morning is to attract God in your everyday life. How are you attracting Him? God sees your heart. Do everything in your ability to attract him, in your work, in your actions, in your thoughts. God is not interested in your songs if you're not obeying him. Now listen to this, 1 Samuel chapter 1, chapter 15, verse 1. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, and I'd like for all of you to read, to follow with me. It says, one day Samuel said to Saul, "It was the Lord who told me to anoint you as king of his people Israel." Now listen to this message from the Lord. "This is what the Lord of heaven's armies has declared. I have decided to settle accounts with the nations of Amalek for opposing Israel when they came through Egypt. Now go and completely destroy the entire Amalek nation, men, women, children, babies, cattle, sheep, goats, camels, and donkeys." So Saul mobilized his army, Atalian. There were 200,000 soldiers from Israel and 10,000 men from Judah. Then Saul and his servants went to a town of the Amalekites and lay in wait in the valley. Saul sent this warning to the Kenites: "Move away from where the Amalekites live, or you will die with them. For you showed kindness to all of the people of Israel when they came up from Egypt." So the Kenites packed up and left. Verse 7. Then Saul slaughtered the Amalekite from Havilah all the way to Shur, east of Egypt. He captured Agag, the Amalekite's king, but completely destroyed everything else. Saul and his men spared Agag's life and kept the best of the sheep and goats, the cattle, the fat calves, and the lambs. Everything, in fact, that appealed to them, they destroyed only what was worthless or of poor quality. Now, you and I, we already see the problem. It's Saul executing God's plan? Help me out. Is he executing God's plan? No. So let's keep reading. It says, "The Lord rejects Saul. Then the Lord said to Samuel the prophet, 'I am sorry I have made Saul king.'" You know, God can be sorry and he can repent from his choice. Let's make sure that our lives is in line with God's word. That's why I tell you, please, do not listen to everything else that's being said on social media. I know some people, they follow certain preacher podcasts. It's all good. Yes, do it. It's good. There are good stuff out there. But read your Bible. Know the Lord. Know the word of the Lord for your life. Because at the end of the day, the word of the Lord, that's what God's going to judge you on. Don't come here and take my word for it. You must know. So Samuel said, God says, "I'm so sorry. For he has not been loyal to me." And here I've got a question for you. Have you been loyal to God? It's really not a question for you to quick answer yes or no. But it's a question to make you think, am I loyal to God? Am I loyal? Even during COVID. Okay, COVID is done. You know, COVID, unfortunately, was straight from hell. Killed a lot of good people. Took the life of, messed up a lot of people. But also, COVID killed a lot of people spiritually. There are people that have left the church. Thank God for online church. God bless you if you're watching online. But you cannot substitute common unity, community, doing life together, than sitting online, watching online, with no accountability. We need each other. Are you loyal to Father? Because if you're not, you're loyal. He's taking notes. I don't have to define loyalty to you. Are you loyal to the all the way to the end? Are you loyal when things are good? Are you loyal even when you don't feel like coming to your community? The Bible says, do not abandon the assembly of the saints. You know, I like to watch the animal planet sometimes. You see the lions going after his prey. Oh, man, those lions, they're smart. They never go in the crowd. When you don't feel like going, you drag your body. You call me. Call somebody. Call someone in your home group. Call someone and say, you know what, man, I just want to run away from church. Be honest. God knows it. See, the thing is sometimes our mind, we think our mind gives us a lot of trouble. We think, well, are they going to judge us? If we do it right according to God's word, there's no judgment. In the presence of God, there is a safe place. And every heart that is encountering God will create a safe place for us. You must be in a safe place. That's why we promote home group. Are you being loyal? God says, I am sorry that I have made Saul king, for he has not been loyal to me and has refused to obey my command. Samuel was so deeply moved when he heard this that he cried out to the Lord all night. Oh, intercession right there. Samuel cried out to the Lord. He's like, oh God. That's why I tell you, the closer you get to God, the more your heart will break for what breaks God's heart. Let me tell you again. The closer, the more intimate you are with God, the more your heart will break for what's breaking God's heart. The orphans, the unborn. You know, even the way Satan comes in the church and try to change the culture of the church. Because, you know, now you have church with a bunch of people who operate with the consumer mindset. Consumer. You know, we come here and the team present you something and get you out there. You know, we got a good program going and, you know, we don't ruffle the water. Verse 12, early the next morning, Samuel went to find Saul. Someone told him Saul went to the town of Carmel to set up a monument to himself. Saul, about right now, is feeling so powerful. Now remember, a king went to war with another nation, killed everybody, but every time they kept the other king, that's the prize, you know. It's like, man, I'm going to torture this guy. I got to let every other nation knows, you know, who's the boss now. What did God say? God didn't send you to war for your own benefit. God didn't bring me here to make a name for myself. God brought me here to lift up the name of Jesus. Because when the name of Jesus is lifted up, when the name of Jesus is honored in everything we do, I tell you, your heart will be delivered. You will encounter him. See, it's so sad when ministry has become a job. And a lot of people have, you know, perverted it. A lot of people are in ministry, but they're not called. You know, fathers pastor church to their sons or their daughters. You know, the church doesn't belong to a body. Somebody. The church is church, the church of Christ. So Christ must establish the leader. I can't just pass this to Ryan. This is not Ryan's inheritance. There's so much we can learn here. Saul went out to build up a monument, his statue. Then he went to Gilgal. Verse 13, when Samuel finally find him, Saul greeted him. Hey, Samuel. You know, when you think everything's going good, Saul thinks, man, oh, hey, Prophet Samuel. What's going on, man? Oh, God bless you. That's what he said. He said, it says, may the Lord bless you. Oh, blessings on you, Samuel. Man, so good to see you today. Blessings on you. I tell you, Samuel, it's such a good day. Saul's thinking, everything's so wonderful.
Oh, I pray Jesus will help us to examine ourselves where we are with him. Because sometimes we think we got it. I'm spiritually healthy because I come to church every Sunday. Or I even give my tithes and offering. I even go on mission trips. We think we got it. But the big question is, how are you obeying God's word? How are you obeying the word in your life? You will attract God the more you obey. You know, there are times in my life I feel like I can't obey. You know what I do? I go to Father. I said, Lord, this is what your word says. Right now, I feel like I can't. So I need you. I need you, Holy Spirit. I need the power of God. I need a changed heart. And then, thank God for accountability. I either call my peers, or if it's something that I can share with, you know, my Timothy, people in my life, or my wife, you know, and then I talk. May the Lord bless you, he said. I have cried to the Lord's commandment. I have carried out the Lord's commandment. Oh, Saul is being deceived. Then Samuel said, what is all bleeding? What is all the bleeding of sheep and goats and the lowing of cattle I hear? Verse 15. Is it true that the army spared the best of the sheep, goats, and cattle? Saul admitted it. But, they are, I mean, don't worry, Samuel. They are to be offered to the Lord. Oh, I have destroyed everything else. Then Samuel said to Saul, stop it. What a rebuke. Come on, man, stop. Stop. Listen to what the Lord told me last night. And then Saul's like, oh, what did he say? Samuel told him, although you may think little of yourself, you are not the leader of the tribes of Israel. The Lord has anointed you you king of Israel. And the Lord set you on a mission and told you, go and completely destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, until they are all dead. Why haven't you obeyed the Lord? Why did you rush for plunder and do what was evil in the sight of God? But I did obey the Lord, Saul insisted. Let me remind you this morning, you cannot obey God halfway. You cannot obey the Lord halfway. You can't choose in the word. Oh, you know what? This person, you know, I used to trust people. I used to be a people person, but people ruined it. So therefore, you know what? I'm just going to give people. There are six. I'm going to carry a 6-foot extension, you know, 6-foot piece of wood. This is their distance. In my heart, nobody gets in my heart. I've been hurt too many times. How many times we say that? I've been hurt too many times. I don't trust people. I've heard. I've talked to pastors. I used to be like that. I had a team around me, man. God brought a couple of them just to shape my character. There's one guy, man, he would always want to fight me. Finally, him and I sat down. I said, brother, I love you, but guess what? I am the pastor. And I mean, I'm willing to teach you, but I feel like every time you come, you bring your boxing gloves. And you know what? We can't do that because in God's house, I can't be doing this with you either. Because God sent his blessing where there's unity.
So if you come to box me, well, guess what? I either have to go find my church or you go have find your pastor. But right now, God has established me as the pastor. And you are the member. And you're my brother. And I don't know what else to do. I can't leave. I'm not telling you to leave, but you really need to consider what's happening here. Oh, thank God for that guy. I actually told him, I said, you need to go find your pastor. You need to go find someone you can submit to, because I am not this guy. Everything I say just irritates you. Everything I do, you question. I don't mind questioning. Yeah, but it's not the right attitude. It's not the right question. It's just conflict. He's conflictual. He wants to fight. Are we learning something? Are you guys still with me? But I did obey the Lord, Saul insisted. You cannot obey God halfway. And let me ask you this. What is an area in your life right now you really need to die to yourself to obey God? What is an area in your life? It could be in your marriage. It could be in your relationship with your siblings, with your neighbors, in your church. What area in your life right now you really need to die to yourself to see God's glory? You cannot obey God halfway. It doesn't work. That's what Saul did. You know, it cost him his kingdom. It cost him his life. It's not easy to follow Christ, but yet a heart that is so rendered, understand, oh man, it is so easy, because then it's no me that lives anymore. Paul said, oh man, I don't live anymore. It's Christ who lives in me. Well, go ahead and curse me. Go ahead and beat me up. Go ahead and trash talk me. Guess what? I'm going to forgive you. I carried out the mission he has given me. He gave me. I brought back King Agag. Did God said that? No, he never said that. But I destroyed everything else. Then my troops bought the best of the sheep, goats, cattle, and plunder to sacrifice to the Lord your God. But Samuel replied, what is more pleasing to the Lord? Your burnt offerings and sacrifice? Is God more? Does God care more about our song we sing? Or he cares about a group of people who wants to obey him? I feel like this is very strong in my heart. On my heart. What areas in your life you need to obey God today? Maybe God's calling you to ministry. Maybe God has laid something on your heart to do, and you're resisting it. Maybe God is knocking. He's like, my son, my daughter, there's more. But then you think, well, God is boring. Let me tell you this, God's not boring. I said it here many times. Actually, Jesus is so freeing. Anyone who understands Jesus, according to his word, you will realize, man, Jesus is free. First of all, he frees us from our sins. And then he frees us from, you know, the law of condemnation, even from our own mind. Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice. And submission is better than offering the fat of rams. Rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft. You know, people here in America, they practice witchcraft. A lot of people practice witchcraft without knowing it. God hates it. God detests idolatry. Whatever else in your life is taking God's place. You know, a lot of time we think about idolatry. We think about, we imagine this big statue. You know, people go to, people do this statue. You know, like, no, I would never worship a statue. We all get it, okay? But then what we fail to understand is sometimes you take 5 hours to clean your car and you can't spend 20 minutes reading your Bible. So what's the problem? Don't get me wrong, okay? You need to entertain yourself.
Don't get me wrong, because I know the enemy can twist what I'm saying and cause people to think weird. You need to entertain yourself. But why is it so easy for me, I'm not talking about you, to sit and watch? We've been trying, Kendra and I, we've been trying since the queen died, we've been trying to watch the crowns. Why is it, it's like sometimes, now lately I've been falling asleep in the middle of, so we kept going back to what I started, and then I fell asleep again. But why is it so easy? But there are some days Kendra's watching online. She's in Pennsylvania. Her sister had a baby. She's helping. But I was like, honey, I'm going to break this soul tie with watching The Crown with you so I can watch it in my free will. She's like, you can't do that. But I feel like I'm not getting anywhere. But the question is, why can't I sit around, watch one episode, 45 minutes, and I'm like, I guess I could watch another episode. And I watch another one. Sometimes I watch three. But why can't I do that? And it's such a burden for me to pray. Why can't I do everything else? But when it comes to last Friday of this month, 7 o'clock, we all the saints, all God's people, we're going to come together to pray, to seek God. Why every time I think about that, I feel like my body hurts? See, the things that are good for you are not easy to do. The kingdom of God is... I have it in French. It's the kingdom of God is... What's that word? The verse that says the kingdom of God is something. It's only the violent that can get into it. You guys see which verse? The kingdom of God, it's not in my note, but it says the kingdom of God is forcé. It's the word, French word is forcé. It's only those who knows how to fight that will get in. It's not easy. Why? Why is it so easy for me to clean my house, which is a good thing, for 8 hours? But the moment I say, okay, I'm gonna go pray, I'm gonna read my Bible, and then my whole body fall into such deep sleep. Why? The World Cup. I'm talking about me, okay? Why? Argentina is playing, and we're like, okay, we're gonna watch Argentina. Man, why do they have to play at 4 in the morning? Why at 3:45, bing, I'm awake. Guess what? 4 o'clock, game starts. Watch 45 minutes, 15 minutes break, and then I watch another second 45 minutes. Why is it so hard for me to wake up 30 minutes before work to spend time with God when my life, the rest of the day, depends on it? I'm telling you all these. God wants to be attracted by you. He wants it. But until you do your part, nothing will happen. And I declare this is the year of growth, but you won't grow until you start doing your part. Anything that becomes more worthy than God in your life is an idol. Anything that has become more worthy than your time, in your time than God, is an idol. It could be your work. Thank God for your job, because there are people in the world that doesn't have jobs. But please listen to me. Do not let your work become your idol. Your work is draining you. Such responsibility. I have to be careful so preaching doesn't become my idol. I better not read the Bible to prepare a sermon. See the balance? I better not just spend time with God for the people. Can you imagine me and my wife, the only time we talk about the kids? It's always about the house, always about the ministry, always about the things we do together, but no heart-to-heart connection. Let me finish right there. Worship is putting worth on God. The angels, they know God's worth. Restoration, I am challenging you and I'm calling you to worship your Creator. Find time. Let me change that. Take time. You know why? You'll never find time. Find time for your God. Find time for your Abba. Take time to soak in His presence. You can't be here on Tuesdays. That's a long time to do soaking. I have soaking in prayer online. Restoration.com, Lenstown.com, on YouTube. Or find some kind of resources. Soak your soul in God. Marinate your heart in the presence of God. More than ever, we need the glory of God. In practical terms, God deserves our praise. So this morning, this is my invitation. What are some things that are taking God's place in your life? I invite them to come in the worship team. And I'm going to give you some time to respond to God's word this morning. You know, I'm not going to say much. If you need prayer, step up. You know, God wants to minister to you. He wants you to be healed. Maybe you need strength to let go on some things. Maybe, like we talked about earlier, some of your habits, you need to change them. And you need to adapt some new habits. You hear it. If you have ears, yeah. Hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Father, we thank you for your word this morning, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would give us a heart to accept and to obey. Let us answer to God's word this morning. In Jesus' name.